It is good to see each of you here this morning, and especially our visitors. I hope that each of you has had a happy week, happy Thanksgiving season. I'm sure that most have been able to be with family and friends, and maybe all of it has helped us to stop and count our blessings a little bit more, certainly something that we need to do. On October the 4th, Judy and I went to Chattanooga for the funeral of her cousin who had lived with us for a while, time passed. And as is the custom, most funeral homes, they handed out a little leaflet or brochure that had in it the details of the service, some facts about the birth and death. And over on the opposite page from where those facts were was a writing or a part of a writing from Bessie Anderson Stanley that was called Success. I had not seen this before. It is a bit unusual because usually at the funeral home when those leaflets are handed out, they'll have the 23rd Psalm or some scripture, some other passages of scripture, or something dealing with the subject of death. And this immediately caught my attention, entitled Success. I thought it a bit unusual that success was being emphasized at a funeral, and yet as I thought about it more, I thought about the writings of Paul that he really did not claim to have been successful until he was ready to be offered. And then he said, I've fought a good fight and finished the course and kept the faith and have a crown of righteousness awaiting. The more I looked at what was said in this work, I decided that I needed to work it into a sermon and share it with all of you. So I began to look through the Bible to see what's said in the Bible about the subject of success, and I was surprised to find that there's only one place in my Bible where the word success is mentioned. Now, certainly there are other words that would be synonyms, and there are many stories of success that are given in the Old Testament and the New. But I believe I'm right in saying, at least from my search, that this passage that was read a few minutes ago is the only passage that uses that word. Success in this translation, successful in the translation from which Al Jean read a few minutes ago. What is success? You and I use that word. Who is successful in life? If you were asked today to list the 10 most successful people in America, are those who have lived during your lifetime, who would be on that list? Would you include Sam Walton and Howard Hughes because of their finances? Would you include Michael Jordan from basketball, Peyton Manning from football, Jeter and Clemens and Chipper Jones, some of those who have signed multi-million contracts from baseball, would you include those among the ones who are most successful people that you and I know? I believe I heard the other day that there's a possibility that the New York Yankees will offer 90-something million dollars to Giambi that played for the Oakland A's this last year, 90-something million dollars. Is that success? Michael Jackson, Oprah Winfrey are two that are usually listed toward the top as those who have more money come in the field of entertainment. Are they successful? Just this last week, wasn't it, that the Harry Potter books, or some of them, were made into a movie, and if I remember right, the first day The movie grossed over $32 million, and maybe the first weekend almost $100 million. Is that success? Is that how we measure success? It may be that we are allowing ourselves to think more in terms like that when we think about the word success. But I imagine that on more than one situation or at more than one table this past week, there was a family together for Thanksgiving where after they had the food purchased and prepared for the Thanksgiving meal, they didn't have much money left. May have been eating in a house that was rented. Probably did not own a square foot of land and maybe didn't have many dollars in the bank. May have never made the headlines in the newspaper, but sat with a family where every child and every grandchild was a faithful Christian and an honest citizen in the community where they lived. Is that success? How do you measure success? What do you and I think about when we think about being successful in life? It's an interesting question. How do you define it? How do you measure it? Well, first, let's look at this passage here in Joshua, the passage that was read a few minutes ago. And notice three or four things that are said here that indicate what God thought about success. And I know it is because it's in this setting where he promised them that they would have success when they went into the promised land. In verse 6, he mentions the word inheritance of the land. And to me, that says that he was saying to them, you're going to have a home. You're going to have a place. You're going to have a place that will be yours, a place to live, a dwelling place. That's a part of success. And the successful place to live is not necessarily based upon how many rooms there are in the house, what style of architecture is used, how much money was put out to build the house, or how much land is owned where that house sits. But he was emphasizing that you're going to have a land that is yours. You're going to have a place. You're going to have a place to live. When I watch those refugees coming out of Afghanistan and other places and think from what I see that probably they have all their possessions on the back of a donkey or on their own backs, I begin to wonder if we have the right definition in describing success. And then twice in this passage, he uses the word prosper. He says at the end of verse 7, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then toward the end of verse 8, that thou shalt make thy way prosperous. God said your success there can be defined by the word prosper. Well, here again, that's a relative term. It's even relative when it is used as the basis for our deciding what we give. Give as we've been prospered. The word prosper may mean many things to many people, different things to different people, but it does suggest the idea of something that is positive. That you're going to have a life where at least you have your needs, you're going to prosper to where you have the positive things that are needed in life. God seems to indicate that when a person prospers, that he is successful. And not only does he talk about the physical things as they went into the land of Canaan, but two ideas are presented in verse 9. He says that you be not afraid. And it was interesting, as Al Jean read from another version, he said that you be not terrified. I guess that word has come to mean a little bit more to us in the last few weeks than it ever did before. But is he not saying that if a person is really successful, whatever the circumstances are, he doesn't have to live in fear. He doesn't have to be terrified all the time. And I guess the opposite of that would be expressed in words that you and I have heard almost every time we turn on the television, and that's the word peace. We are able to live in peace. That certainly would be a high degree of success, wouldn't it? And then he says next that you be not dismayed or discouraged, dissatisfied. I think none of us knows how many people today are living in that frame of mind, discouraged and dissatisfied. And perhaps the extreme word that is used in this area is the word depressed. In the last few days, I've had an opportunity to talk with some people who were suffering from depression and anxiety, to the extent that they were not able to be successful in life in the sense of being occupied and being able to hold down a job and to be busy in the affairs of life. They were in some kind of depression, discouragement, dissatisfaction. God says, I want you to go into this land and be such that you're not afraid, you're not terrified, and you're not dismayed, you're not discouraged. And he says, that's success. And then perhaps the bottom line and the sum of it all is there in verse 9 when he says, and the Lord thy God will be with thee. I tell you, folks, if you and I can live in such a way that we can go to bed tonight believing that God is with us, and get up in the morning believing that God is with us, and that whether we go to school or to the job or stay at home or whatever we do, that we believe that we have a relationship with God that is defined in Christianity, that any time during the day we can go to Him in prayer, that in a sense our thought process is that praying continuously without ceasing, that we have His Word to where we can listen to Him talk to us through His Word, that we have God with us, wouldn't you say that that is success? And so here in this one place where the word success is used in God's Word, God gives us a pretty good idea of what He thinks is involved in success. Now, having looked at the Scripture and what He said, let me share with you what's in this little work that I referred to and what really caused me to prepare and bring this lesson this morning. This lady said, he has achieved success who has lived well, laughed often, and loved much, who has enjoyed the trust of pure women, the respect of intelligent men, and the love of little children, who has filled his niche and accomplished his task, who has left the world better than he found it, whether an improved poppy, a perfect poem, or a rescued soul, who has always looked for the best in others and given them the best that he had, whose life was an inspiration and whose memory a benediction. I don't think I've ever seen on one little piece of paper as much said in the right way about the subject of success. And I think after having read it several times that I understand more clearly why it was included at a funeral. Now let's think about this for just a moment. He has achieved success who has lived well. He didn't say he lived with riches. She didn't comment on these things, but who has lived well. I was reminded of Galatians 2:20 when I read that. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Life is about living, making the most out of life, not living it up, not living in the fast lane, but living well, who laughed often. Tears were shed at that funeral. Tears are shed on other occasions, and rightfully so, but he says, or she says, success has to do with being able to laugh. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Proverbs 15:13. And who has loved much? We have a tendency to think of success from the standpoint of how much love is coming in our direction. And that love is important. But she says, really, the true success is in being able to love much. That would include love to God, love to family, love to friends, love to one's enemy. Who enjoyed the trust of pure women? In other words, this person's conduct was such that any woman could be in his presence without any fear. That he looked at the younger women as sisters and the older women as mothers, 1 Timothy 5, and they looked at him as a father or a brother, as indicated in that passage, and he had the trust of pure women, the respect of intelligent men. Even men who were intelligent and educated could look at this gentleman and see that he was successful because they respected him for what he was doing. The love of little children. There's nobody who can see through you more quickly than a child. And when you're able to have the little ones to love you and know that you are sincere and that you're yourself, that's success. Who filled his niche? Not somebody else's, his. It may not have been as important in the world's view as somebody else's, but he filled his niche. May have been a one-talent man or a two-talent man, not able to do what the five-talent man could do, but he filled his niche, and he accomplished his task. Not necessarily made as much as somebody else or owned as much land as someone else. Didn't make the headlines in the newspaper as much as somebody else, but he accomplished his task. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not, if there first be a willing mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. He left the world better than he found it. You were glad that you knew him. You were glad he was your friend. You always were glad to have him on your side because he would leave the place better than he found it. Jesus went about doing good comes to mind as I think of that. He always looked for the best in others. Not critical, not pointing out the mistakes that were probably there, and maybe sometimes had to look hard to find good things, but he always looked for the best in others, and he always gave them the best that he had. Not better than somebody else or worse than somebody else, but the best that he had. No wonder it can be said, his life was an inspiration. He's the one you'd want to be like. He's the one you would want to follow. Even if you couldn't see where he was going, you would know he was going in the right direction and you would want to follow him, and whose memory is a benediction. That means a closing blessing. What a description of success. And it's just another way of saying what God said here. And in this passage where he talks about success, it's interesting that God in his word gives us a little insight as to how. This did not. This just gave us the description of it. But God gives us a little insight as to how. Notice three times he says, be strong. He's not talking about being able to lift 400 pounds. He's talking about spiritual strength. Be strong, and three times he says, be of good courage. Believe in yourself, believe in others, believe in God especially. Have courage, be courageous. And then he says, meditate on God's law. Verse 8. And in verse 7 and verse 8, he says, observe God's law or obey God's law. Now you take all of that, be strong, of good courage, meditate on God's law, obey God's law, and it comes right down and is summed up in the idea of being a Christian, living a Christian life. Isn't that basically what I was reading? I would guess that this person here was probably not a New Testament Christian. I don't know whether the person was religious or not, but I'll tell you that description of success comes pretty close to describing what the Bible describes as Christianity. Lived well, laughed often, loved much, enjoyed the trust of pure women, respect of intelligent men, love of little children, filled his niche, accomplished his task, left the world better than he found it, looked for the best in others, gave them their best, lived a life that was an inspiration, and closed it with the right kind of benediction. Folks, that's Christianity. And that's success. If you have it, you're successful. If you don't have it, I don't care what else you have, your life will be a failure. When we come to the end of a lesson, usually in services like this, we remind us of the Lord's invitation. And we encourage those of you who have not become Christians to express your faith in confession and willingness to repent and be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of sins, because we believe that's what the Bible teaches for us to get into Christ and become Christians. And we encourage those who've gone astray to be penitent, confess and pray to God and be restored, respond in that sense. We don't do that just out of habit. We do that because we're trying to help us be successful. We're trying to help us be Christians and have the right relationship with God. That's where true success is found. And if you don't have that relationship with God this morning, you don't have success. But you can have it by coming as together we stand and sing.